Please turn to Luke chapter 1 in your Bibles, and we want to read verses 26 through 33. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Earlier in this chapter, it was announced that John would be born. He, of course, would serve as the forerunner of our Lord. And in the sixth month of his mother's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. We want to read about their conversation, or at least a portion of it. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Notice especially that as Gabriel was speaking to Mary, he said that her son, of course that's referring to Jesus, would be great. That's a great statement. It's found in verse 32. Now that's what Gabriel said to Mary about her son that she would eventually bring forth into the world. He would be great. As you examine the scriptures, though, you will see that they certainly do emphasize the Lord's greatness. That's what our bulletin article is about this week. There are a number of scriptures which show that Jesus is greater. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than Jacob, greater than Abraham, greater than Moses. And we could go on and on and on, mentioning ways in which the Bible shows that Jesus is greater. So the Bible certainly does emphasize the Lord's greatness. But not only is the Lord great, the things that he offers are great too. And today we want to concentrate for a little while on the great invitation that Jesus offers in Matthew chapter 11. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, and we want to read verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now I want you to notice that Jesus did not refer to those words as an invitation. Matthew, the inspired writer, did not refer to them as great. But as you examine what Jesus said, you have to conclude that this is an invitation. And as you examine it, you can't help but conclude that it is great. So that's why we're referring to this as the Lord's great invitation. We need to study this, I believe, occasionally because it is so special. But before we begin our actual study of the invitation, let's consider some things that are revealed earlier in this chapter. These are some things that we need to keep in mind that will help us appreciate the Lord's invitation. Notice how this chapter begins. This is chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. In the previous chapter, Jesus had sent his disciples out on what we call the limited commission. After he sent the disciples out on that commission, notice that he continued teaching and preaching. Now, that's the way Jesus began his ministry, by teaching and preaching. And he continued even after he sent the disciples out on the limited commission. Now, by teaching and preaching as he did, Jesus was endeavoring to reach as many people as possible. You see, our Lord has something to offer that no one else can offer. So he was endeavoring to reach as many people as possible. That's why he was devoted to teaching and preaching. Now go down to verse 20 of the same chapter. We want to read down through verse 24. And we will see that the Lord pronounced woe upon those who did not accept his invitation, those who did not respond to him in the right way. Verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. As Jesus went forth teaching and preaching, he also performed many miracles. Those miracles served as evidence to prove that he truly is the Son of God. So Jesus had gone to certain areas. He performed his miracles. Unfortunately, even after seeing the Lord's miracles, many people refused to repent. Jesus pronounced woe upon them. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. It's difficult for me to imagine a fate worse than that suffered by the city of Sodom. The Lord rained fire and brimstone upon that city, and it was completely destroyed. But here the Lord said that it would be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than it would be for Capernaum. The people in Capernaum had seen the Lord's miracles. They were very familiar with him, but they refused to repent. In other words, they did not accept his invitation to receive the blessing that he provides. But thankfully, there were some who did. And Jesus continued by expressing his gratitude to the Father for those who did respond to him in the right way. Verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So while Jesus pronounced woe upon those who did not receive him, those who did not respond properly to him and his teaching, he did thank the Father for those who did respond properly to the teaching that he presented. Now, following that very brief prayer that we just read, Jesus gave his great invitation. I believe it will help us to appreciate the invitation by being aware of those things that are revealed earlier in this chapter. Let's look at this invitation in more detail. The first point we want to make is that the Lord's invitation is for people to come to him. The Lord said, come unto me. We need to understand that some individuals were having a great influence upon the Jewish people at the time. Many times in the New Testament, we read about the scribes and the Pharisees. These were Jewish people, and they had a tremendous influence upon the Jews. The scribes were those who copied out the law And after a long period of copying out the law by hand, they would be qualified to serve as teachers of the law. The Pharisees were Jewish people. They claimed to be strict followers of the law of Moses. Unfortunately, they had some problems with their traditions that had been passed down for many years. These people, the scribes and the Pharisees, had been influencing the Jewish people through their teaching. Let's consider a few of their problems. Let's go to Matthew 23, and we won't read the entire chapter, but we do want to make several points concerning the problems with the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now remember, the Lord's invitation is for people to come to Him. He said, "Come unto Me." He did not invite people to go to the scribes and the Pharisees. We're about to see why. Look at verse 4. "For they," speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 2, "bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." The scribes and the Pharisees placed tremendous burdens upon people. Well, we will see that the Lord's invitation is for people to receive rest. The scribes and the Pharisees placed tremendous burdens upon people. Furthermore, they did not practice what they preached. Jesus always practiced what He preached. I find it interesting that Luke began the book of Acts by referring to the gospel that he had written earlier. He called it the former treatise. He mentions all things that Jesus began both to do and teach. Jesus set the proper example, then He gave His instruction. Not so with the scribes and the Pharisees. They placed tremendous burdens upon people, but then they wouldn't practice their own teaching. Look at verse 13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." The scribes and the Pharisees actually kept people out of the kingdom. But then look at verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Their converts were actually made worse. Now, there are other things that Jesus had to say in this chapter concerning the scribes and the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites, and He pointed out their errors. Now, at the time, the scribes and the Pharisees were influencing the Jewish people through their teaching. Well, Jesus invites people to come to Him rather than the teachers like the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, Christ has something to offer that no one else can. Let's continue to look at this invitation in more detail. We just pointed out that the Lord's invitation is for people to come to Him. We need to understand that the Lord's invitation is for all people. He invites all who labor and are heavy laden to come to Him. Now, exactly who is included? Jesus mentioned all who labor. This is referring to people who are weary or exhausted from burdens and griefs. You know, it's one thing to be physically tired, but it's something else to be emotionally and spiritually tired. Our Lord's invitation was to all who labor. That includes those who are weary or exhausted from burdens and griefs. Jesus also mentioned all who are heavy laden. Who does that include? Those who are heavy laden are burdened down from the weight of sin. We read about a number of people in the Bible who suffered from the weight of sin. Those who came to Jesus received a blessing. But those who did not come to him did not. I can't help but think about Judas Iscariot. He betrayed the Lord. He tried to return the money that he was given. He couldn't go back on what he had done. He was so burdened down with the weight of what he had done that he took his own life. You know, I've wondered many times, if he had gone to our Lord and had fallen down before him and asked the Lord to forgive him, what do you suppose Jesus would have said? I think we know. But Judas was so burdened down with the weight of what he had done that he ended his life. Well, Jesus has compassion on people who labor and are heavy laden. Let's look at Matthew 9 and read verse 36. We mentioned earlier that in Matthew 10, Jesus sent the disciples out on what we call the limited commission. You see, Jesus had been endeavoring to reach as many people as possible, according to Matthew 9 and verse 35, but there were still many people that he had not been able to reach. So he got his disciples involved. But notice how the Lord felt toward people who labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 9 and verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." When Jesus saw people with spiritual and emotional needs, he was moved with compassion because, you see, he came to provide rest. And when he saw people who needed the rest that he provides, it affected him. He was moved with compassion. So we've already pointed out that the Lord invites people to come to him, not teachers like the scribes and the Pharisees. And his invitation is for all people, all who labor and are heavy laden. So regardless of who we are, regardless of what we are, if we will come to the Lord on his terms, he will give us rest. And as I like to say, this is a very special kind of rest. I came across this expression years ago. I wish I could remember where I first read it, but it stuck with me for a long time. The kind of rest that the Lord provides might be called tranquility of the soul. You just think about that. You can't go to any other source and receive that blessing. But the Lord will provide it. He's concerned about all who labor and are heavy laden. He invites us to come to him to receive the blessing that he provides and that spiritual rest or tranquility of the soul. But we also need to point out that the Lord's invitation contains certain conditions for receiving the rest that he provides. The Lord said that we must take his yoke upon us. Now, what does that mean? The yoke is a symbol of submission to someone else. Now, a yoke was placed on a beast of burden for the purpose of plowing, used in agriculture. With the passing of time, the yoke took on a symbolic meaning. And many times when the Bible speaks of a yoke, it's referring to a symbol of submission to someone else. Well, Jesus said that we're to take his yoke upon us. That simply means that we're to submit to his will. Now, contrary to what many people believe, Christ does have a yoke for us to wear, and he has a burden for us to carry. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16 and consider what the Lord said in verses 24 and 25. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus does have a yoke for us to wear, and he has a burden for us to carry. Now, some people try to find a contradiction in what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and with what he said about his burden being light. There is no contradiction. When we consider the Lord's requirements to the penalty for sin, I think we can quickly see that the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. So when the Lord says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, does not mean that we don't have a cross to carry or a burden to carry. We need to look at what the Lord was teaching. He was teaching that in comparison to the penalty for sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. When we consider the penalty of sin to the burden that the Lord wants us to carry, well, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's a requirement. Now, that varies from individual to individual. There are certain things in my life, you have certain things in your life, that when it comes to following the Lord, has to be borne or have to be carried. That varies from person to person. We need to understand that. But the Lord said, if you want the rest that I provide, you're going to have to carry my yoke. You're going to have to bear your cross. You're going to have to carry your burden. There's another requirement. Jesus said that we must learn of him. Let's read it again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I understand that that might be better translated, learn from me. We need to follow the Lord's instructions, and we need to follow his example. That very point is made very well, I believe, in Philippians chapter 2. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. Verse 5 says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now our Lord said concerning his great invitation, we must learn from him. Well, here the Apostle Paul teaches us to have the mind of Christ, to allow his mind to be in us. Now he goes on to explain what he means by that. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, we're to follow the Lord's instructions, and we're to follow his example. Now, he tells us to take his yoke upon us. Other passages teach us to carry our crosses and bear our burdens. Did Jesus set the example? Oh, yes, he did. He had a cross to carry, a literal cross to carry. Sometime I try to picture what that must have been like when Jesus was going to the place of crucifixion. And I know that man has probably glamorized this too much. But our Lord apparently was not able to carry his cross all the way to Golgotha, because a man named Simon was compelled to carry his cross for him. When you think about what the Lord had already gone through, I really don't know how he was still alive. His life was remaining in him until he could actually die on the cross. Jesus taught us what carrying a cross and bearing a burden is all about. He became obedient unto the Father. That is, he took the Father's yoke upon him, even to the point of dying on the cross. So the Lord has shown us what carrying a cross is all about. Now he's teaching us how to receive the blessing that he provides. He said we have to take his yoke upon us. We have to learn from him. Now, I want you to notice that these are requirements that we must fulfill. Jesus described himself as being meek and lowly in heart. In other words, he's not going to force us to do his will. We have to make the decision to fulfill the responsibilities that he gives us. There are certain requirements that we must meet, and we have to make the conscious decision to meet those requirements. Well, what is it that should motivate us to do that? Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Our love for the Lord will motivate us to fulfill his requirements so that we can receive the blessing that he provides. Jesus said, "Those who comply with his requirements will find rest unto their souls." Now that invitation was for all who labor and are heavy laden. If we will fulfill our requirements that the Lord gives us, we can receive a very special blessing. You can't receive it from anyone else. Our Lord is the sole giver of that blessing. Let's consider a few people in the Gospel of Matthew who came to the Lord. They had needs. Jesus dealt with both individuals. One individual did not receive rest. The other one did. Well, we can learn from the one who made a mistake, and we can follow the example of the one who received rest. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 and read about a man who's identified as the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, let's start at verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now he was searching for a special blessing. He wanted eternal life. And he came to the right source. Now he had some misunderstandings, but he thought there was some great thing he could do to receive eternal life. But we have to commend him for coming to the right source for information. Matter of fact, I believe it's the Gospel of Mark that says he came running to the Lord. So this was a matter of urgency for him. "And he said unto him," that is Jesus speaking to the young man, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Remember, the law of Moses was in effect at that time. So Jesus said, keep the commandments that God gave to the Jewish people through Moses. "He saith unto him, Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I studied those verses for years before I considered what Jesus did not include. he did not say anything to this young man about coveting. But the law of Moses did, one of the Ten Commandments. You see, our Lord knew this young man's problem when he came to him. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He understood that there was something lacking in his life. Now we might say that this young man was weary and heavy laden. He was looking for eternal life, and he knew that he did not have it at that point. So there was something missing in his life. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus said, I've got this yoke. You're going to have to take it upon yourself. I've got this burden for you to carry, and you're going to have to carry it. Well, Jesus revealed what it was. What was his response? But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His problem was not that he had great possessions. His problem was his possessions had control of him. I think it's sad that this young man came looking for a blessing. He left without receiving it. Why did he fail to receive it? He would not take the yoke that the Lord gave him upon himself, and he would not carry the burden or the cross that the Lord gave him. Now let's look at a positive example. Let's go to Matthew 15 and read about the Canaanite woman. She had a burden she was carrying. She came to the Lord, and she received rest. Matthew 15, let's start at verse 21. I always found the Lord's conversation with this lady to be very interesting. And you know, if you read something into this, you might come up with the idea that Jesus was not being very nice to this lady. But we need to remember that this woman was not a Jew. She's identified as a woman of Canaan. We also need to remember that Jesus came to the Jewish people. And we also need to remember that there were other people around who could be influenced by what took place. That's something we always need to remember when we're studying the Lord's interaction with other people. Many times his disciples would be there, and that would serve as a teaching opportunity for them. Well, let's start at verse 21 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This woman had a burden she was carrying. She was concerned about the welfare of her daughter. Now, exactly how this devil or this demon was affecting her daughter, I don't know because it's not recorded. But we do read about other examples of demon possession. And people who suffered from demon possessions suffered in a very great way. Not long ago, I was reading about the man who had a son that was possessed by a demon. Sometimes he would be cast into the fire, sometimes into the water. You can just imagine how that young fellow was affected by that demon. So here's a lady who's concerned about her daughter. Her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This was a serious matter. You can see that she was carrying a great burden. She was laboring, and she was heavy laden. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. So keep in mind, the disciples were present. Now, their response was, Send this woman away. Our Lord saw this as a teaching opportunity. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she saith, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The rich young ruler did not submit to the Lord's conditions for receiving rest. Consequently, he did not find it. On the other hand, the Canaanite woman was mindful of her condition. She knew that Jesus could help her, and she came to the Lord in faith. Don't you know she was a happy woman? Well, when we're in need of rest, and we all are in need of that very special rest, we need to understand that the Lord will give it when we comply with His requirements. He will bless us with peace that cannot be received from any other source. So as we go about our daily lives, and we become weary or heavy laden, we have the assurance that rest is available. If we'll come to the Lord on His terms, He will bless us abundantly. Now, the Bible teaches that the Lord grants salvation to those who comply with His requirements. And Jesus said when He gave the Great Commission, He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Once we get into Christ by being baptized into Him, we're able to walk in newness of life. And then, as we continue serving the Lord, when we need that very special rest that only the Lord provides, we can approach Him and He will give it to us graciously. I don't know about you, but I believe that's blessed assurance. But by all means, we must not reject the Lord's offer. He said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, as one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's John 12 and verse 48.